coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, hump day. Hump day. Hump day. It's August 21st, 2024. A lot of information to get into today. You know, the sideshow with the Democratic National Convention, the chaos behind it is perhaps the story, not just the convention, but the chaos behind and inside the political machine. And really, all of politics is a sideshow, I believe. But we have to address it nonetheless, because where is the future of our country going? And I really, truly, honestly believe that we are really a captured operation, and on the verge of being an operation not just captured but subjugated to the communist agenda. And that's what they're. That's what the really from the 2016 and 2015 escalator ride down. The attacks against President Donald Trump, to the selection of Tim Walz, all of this, and even, I'm going to toss in, even the assassination attempt on July 13th, all of this is part of a takeover of our government. They want us dead. They want President Trump out of the way, dead, whatever, and they want to be in power. They cannot afford to lose power. But in the process of presenting that, the Democratic National Convention, what a mess that is. We'll be talking a little bit about that, not that much, but a little bit about it as the show unfolds today. Now, before I get going, I want to thank, of course, our sponsors, our supporters. Thank you for those who support us. And I, again, I don't really talk about anything I don't use personally or endorse. If I don't have personal experience with it, I don't really like to talk about it. But in this case, I've got to turn your attention to Chuck Norris. Folks, check this out. ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. That's ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. You know, you kind of wonder sometimes what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris, right? I saw a video that he made, and I was absolutely surprised at the shape that he's in. He's in his 80s and still kicking people's behinds and working out and staying active. Well, what's even more shocking is he's actually stronger. He can work out longer and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. And that's important. As you and I age, folks, that is so important, the quality of life. So I looked at this and I thought, okay, what's he doing that I'm not? Because he's out running me basically at 20-year difference roughly. Well, he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this one thing too. She never felt better. She said she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner, and she's got energy for the entire day. Now, Chuck Norris made a special video that explains everything. So, folks, make sure you watch it by going to ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. And that full address is important, ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. Or just click on the link below this video. It's going to change the way you think about your health. Once again, that's ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. Click on the link in the description box below to watch the video. Now, you're not going to believe how simple this is. And just a reminder, Chuck Norris, legendary man, 84 years old. Now, compare that to some people you have seen on the screen recently in their 80s, right? Lower 80s. And compare the vitality. But he's got more energy than I do. He's discovered he can create dramatic changes to his health simply by focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. Now, watch his method by simply clicking on the link in the description box below. Or if you need the URL, it's ChuckDefense.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Appreciate that. Folks, have I got a treat for you in addition to all of this. You know, it's no secret that the alliance between this platform as a private investigative entity coming to you as the Hagman Report. We work with other groups, closely with other groups, but only top-tier groups. And in for a visit, and I'm so absolutely pleased that he's here, is Landon from SaveThem.org. Now, you might recall me describing this, and this is how I keep things in my mind. And, hey, say what you will. When Russ Dizdar was alive, of course, he had his team. And the domestic part of the team, and a couple of gentlemen from that organization are here in studio as well, that is now Shatter Ops. Shatter Ops, okay? And folks, you've got to support Shatter Ops because they're doing a tremendous job in the in saving children, battling child trafficking, and from the most basic to the more complex. But that's on a domestic and a little bit international, but domestic scale. Now, on the international side is SaveThem.org. And with me right now is Landon from SaveThem.org, the man behind that organization. Very, very good in terms of rescuing and investigating child sex trafficking, human trafficking internationally. And, of course, based in the United States, but they do great work. And I'll tell you something, a lot of great success stories. So between the two, you've got SaveThem.org, Landon, here with me today in studio, just to ride along shotgun with me, because I'm lonely. No one else would. Eric the Tech said, nah, not today. Yeah, we're just going to be commenting on some current events. Sir, how are you today? Landon, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for asking me to ride shotgun. I don't know much about much, but I definitely have a critical eye, and hopefully I can criticize things well with you today.
Well, you know what? You and I, and we can just talk, because you and I were talking earlier, you know, about just about the environment of the current political, social environment of things. And I look, everyone out there listening and viewing this, I believe they're concerned about the immediate future. And sadly, we have to really bring politics into the mix, because politics, it's downstream of culture, but it's also the driver of current actions, right? It also drives what's going on. So we have a decision that, as a country, to make in November as to whether we are going to, and this is my view, and correct me if your view is something different. Mm-hmm. My view is, if we elect, or if the people elect or select and cheat and put in Harris, if in fact she turns out to be the nominee, which, you know, it's not over yet, her and Waltz would absolutely destroy this country, take it to Venezuelan levels, as opposed to President Trump, who's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, would at least buy us some time. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's very clear, and I've spent a lot of time overseas and coming back and forth to the U.S. Right. And have kind of seen how the country has ebbed and flowed, both from the inside and from the outside. And what I see is that within the United States, we tend to think that our parties are so different. But from the outside, when people look at the country, they see that it's like cousins in a family. So they see it more clearly overseas, that it's a little bit of two wings of the same bird. But when you're in it and trapped within the system, you can see those two wings a little more clearly. And it does look like the bird is starting to fall off the communist left side. It's swaying left. Yeah. And with that is bringing the right wing with it, and it's starting to kind of move towards center. So there's this kind of Overton window concept, and things that 10 years ago, you know, people that call themselves Republicans would never think of endorsing are now just kind of commonplace within the Republican Party. Like, Republicans talking about being pro-abortion. I mean, that's what?
Right.
Since when is that? So it speaks to kind of maybe the societal level endorsement. And I'm sorry, I kind of talk bluntly about these things, but
no, that's fine.
The societal endorsement of paganism as cultural values, maybe turning away from the Bible. And when you see that, you start going into the world of hedonism, I'm my own God, I have no accountability to everybody else, all that kind of stuff. Well, then you start swaying away from maybe where we were 30, 40 years ago even. And so I've seen that just ebbing and flowing across the ocean watching the country change. I've talked to missionary friends of mine who have been gone for 7-8 years. They came back and they don't even recognize the country. That's pretty drastic. And so that's just kind of my perspective.
No, I think it's absolutely right on the money. And, you know, it's interesting when you said you have friends that would come back after an absence and they don't recognize the country. I think sometimes we as a population, we live here, we work every day, we do our thing every day. And we don't see that change, although it's rapid relative to history. It's gradual in terms of our lives. So right. If that makes sense. So yeah, you leave for a while, you come back and it's like, wow, what happened? Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Things like, you know, I remember coming back from overseas and logging into Netflix for the first time and just the movies that show up in the homepage of Netflix.
Yes.
The level of just societal debauchery and lack of moral kind of standards.
Yes.
It's weird, actually, that we've just vacated moral standards in the public sphere.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you know, I had I wasn't joking about this, but I was. It's hard to really comprehend that the DNC, they've got these mobile abortion or infanticide vans, and they're offering that and that service as well as vasectomies for men, and we're told that, hey, all the appointments on these vans are filled. You know, I mean, what does that say about the people, not just on the left, but the people in America in general?
Yeah, I mean, that's our country. If that is the norm, the normal condition, if that's the bell curve condition of America, then our country supports the killing of children.
Yes.
A civilization that does not protect the vulnerable is not a civilization that can continue to exist. So I would say that kind of thing looks like an early indicator of a civilization that's crumbling. Right. A civilization that's willing to kill its own children to stop reproducing is a country. I mean, I studied anthropology in college because I couldn't come up with anything better to do.
Do you want to tell people where you went to college, or you want to leave that out?
Let's just say
it was an Ivy League.
Yeah, it was an Ivy League place where I failed out of pre-med, and so I had to finish by doing anthropology. But one of the core tenets of anthropological study is reproductive fitness. So understanding that humanity that thrives has high reproductive fitness, and societies that crumble and disappear are those who can't reproduce. So we are intentionally as a society going down a path of killing off our progeny or making it impossible to reproduce means that we are leading to our own destruction as a civilization. To me, that's a macro level concern. Right. That is just evident.
So how does that fit in? Again, highly educated Landon from SaveThem.org. And by the way, folks, look, this was kind of an impromptu thing to have him here sit in. But I'm glad he's here. But while he's here, I want to take the opportunity to say, please support SaveThem.org. They do great work. Whatever you can do, because they're all about the children. They're all about the most vulnerable. And I would not put, I mean, between Save Them and Shatter Ops, I think, man, they are fighting the good fight every day. And they're actually saving children, and God bless them. So, but anyway, the replacement, you know, you talk about the lack of reproduction of really the, would I call it Western European stock? I mean, you're smarter than I am. So what's a correct term for that?
In what regard?
Well, okay. So for example, people talk about white replacement theory that's a conspiracy theory, but the average American, we're not reproducing right at the way we should be.
Right. Well, I mean the whole of Western civilization and plus China, who tried to do it as well for quite some time and realized that wasn't going to last. And Japan, for that matter, whose baby boomer population, the curve's inverted, right? So they're just about to collapse. So it's actually a global issue outside of maybe parts of Africa and South America where people are just living life, not trying to control things.
Well, and folks, you might think this is kind of, you know, really not relevant or even boring, but when you look at, you know, back 50 or 70 years ago, the average American family having, what was it, 2.5 kids and, you know.
Well, at the turn of the century, after, you know, the early 1900s, the average American family had seven children.
Seven
children. Today, you know, if you have three, people look at you cross-eyed.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit bizarre. So things have changed very rapidly in this past 100 years.
I had a friend who passed away, sadly, Pat Campbell. Folks, you probably might know the name or remember him. He was with Catholic Family Radio, and then he went to he went on. He was out in Tulsa. He had 11 children. He was a talk show host, a great talk show host, good friend. Passed away from brain cancer, but 11 children.
Yeah. Hey, amen.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Children are a blessing.
but see, okay, so the really the, kind of the crux of today's program is really the takedown of the United States by the communists. So the left or the communist element wouldn't want that reproduction. They don't want us to reproduce, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely right. And the dripping hypocrisy of things like a couple nights ago when Biden was speaking about how, oh, you know, more children die of gunshots in the U.S. than anything. We need to take away everybody's guns. But never mind that guns don't kill people, but people kill people. And meanwhile, they've got abortion vans out front killing babies.
Yes.
In fact, the thing that kills more babies and children than anything in the United States is the murder of children in the womb. That,
correct.
That statistically is where the majority of the children in this country die. So there's a talking out of both sides of your mouth thing that's been going on quite rampantly. I'd say specifically since Obama, I noticed it just in my lifetime that I was like, wait, he just said exactly the opposite thing. And everybody's just nodding like this. It's bizarre. It's like they're in a trance.
Wow. Okay. And the way I look at this as well, if you're going to destroy a country, you've got to destroy borders, language, and culture. And really to do that is to attack the nuclear family as well. And but that brings me to the border. You know, so we're letting in, I think the number, the true number, just under Biden and Harris, don't forget Harris, is north of 20 million. Some people will say, well, no, not really. It's less. Now, it's equal to the population of 47 states that they've let in. So is that, in your view, is that part of the takedown of our country? And is that replacing the 1950-esque family?
Yeah, well, the 1950-esque family was grounded in a fundamentally biblical ethos and framework of existence. The attack of the Antichrist forces in this world is really to destroy the created order. So the created order has many different facets. Reproduction for thrival is one of them. Borders is one of them. So the Lord created national borders. Okay. Satan pursues the Tower of Babel. All right. So that's where our understanding of biblical history comes in. And the move today is to recreate the Tower of Babel and to have the Tower of Babel in place and all of humanity unified against Christ. You have to do away with borders. So that's a key component of destroying the created order as instituted by the Lord. And you're either on one side or the other in this equation. There's no, you can't really have both.
Well stated. So at the really, if you at the highest level view of things, or if you really want to get to the root of the issue, it is a demonic play against the entire entire world. This whole agenda is demonic, and it's being implemented by the minions of Satan.
Yeah, it's the narrative within which we find ourselves.
Right.
And the asleepness of the church as the only force that can stand up and push back the darkness is probably the most tragic state of our society, apart from everything else. You know, and Christ tells us that we're not actually even supposed to judge those outside the church. We're supposed to judge within the church and call the church to right living and to holiness and to be awake for the fight within which we were called as the hands and feet of Jesus. When we start spending all of our time judging people who are different from us outside the church, well, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Lord. How can you blame them for producing their or pursuing their own hedonistic desires? We're the same way, but God. But God gave us the Holy Spirit, so we have eyes to see and ears to hear a different perspective on the created order, which is the right living of the Lord. He gave Moses the two tablets to help us understand not that there's only one way to live, but that there's a right way to live because he created us to fit within that right order. Right.
Okay. So, if I'm hearing you correctly, and folks, to me, this is important because this strikes at the root of the issue. We are to live within the confines of the biblical church. Is that right?
If you wish to pursue human flourishing.
Okay.
Okay. So, for example, homosexuality.
Yes.
If someone has homosexual desires and they pursue a homosexual lifestyle, I don't judge the fact that they pursue their desires, but I have a benchmark by which I can share the good news with them that there is an appropriate way to live that the Lord has told us will lead to their human flourishing. And the statistics are on my side, because if you are living a homosexual lifestyle, by definition, you can't reproduce. So anthropologically, you're putting yourself out of existence. That's against the created order. It's not, this isn't.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And it's not about being ugly, and it's not about being judgmental. It's about being factual.
Correct.
So it's just a fact. Like, there's a better way to live, and I can share that with you. You can still choose your hedonistic desires. That's your choice.
Okay.
I'm not going to judge you for your choices because you obviously don't know the Lord. But the problem is when people call themselves Christian, when they say they have the Holy Spirit, and then they profess living in habitual sin, those two things are against each other, and that's what we call apostasy. So all the right. Church finds itself in a state of apostasy in many parts of this country because it professes Christ and biblical right living, but then it endorses habitual sin. Those two things cannot live together. And that's why we have what the Bible calls a great falling away right now, where people are falling away from the truth. Like you've got on the screen here, truth.
Right.
Truth through Jesus is the truth. Right. So it's, anyways, I'm kind of pontificating,
but
that's just where my mind goes.
It's accurate. And especially when you talk about the perversions of human sexuality, I think we have to address that.
Yeah.
And you know, that comes with that comes, even today, the talk of monkeypox, or, I can't say that, the mpox, because monkeypox is racist. I still haven't figured that one out, but okay. Which is generally, or at least it was, a sexually transmitted disease among the homosexual community. So, but again, all of these can be traced back to what we should be doing, but what we're not doing within the church, I guess.
And the thing is, when we don't stand truthfully against things that are obviously lies, we normalize our own involvement, our own complicity with societal denigration. So the other day I saw this horrible commercial on TV, and it was a medical commercial about HIV prevention or something.
Yes.
Well, every single person in that commercial that I can remember was homosexual. So the drug company is marketing the anti-HIV medication directly to the LGBT community. Well, there must be a reason that they're doing this. There must be statistics, because I used to work in healthcare research, and I'll tell you, you don't do anything without statistics.
Okay.
So if they are marketing their product to a specific demographic, it's because they have the evidence that that demographic is would uptake the product.
Okay.
Okay. So you see that. You see that commercial on TV. And then you hear a politician say there's no connection between homosexuality and HIV. Well, that's just that's just living in a world of contradiction, right?
Yes.
You're just cognitive dissonance rules the day in that environment. So all we have to do is just say, well, actually, we err on the side of truth. And
okay, I get that.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. It's and we're living in a really weird society right now where people talk out of both sides of their mouths. And people see that all over the world. They see Americans, they're losing trust in America.
Oh, yes.
Because America doesn't hold true to its convictions, doesn't hold true to its word. And when you start going down that slippery slope, you lose friends, you lose allies, you lose all that kind of stuff. So
you lose respect and credibility, which... Yeah. You know, for all the things that President Trump had instilled, I think, in his 4 years as in the Oval Office, I think we had some level of respect that we don't now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some level of standing behind our friends or yeah. beside our friends.
Right.
We don't have that now.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of that, you know, it's interesting how all of this plays out. We've got a couple of video clips here. And then we're going to be getting into something, I think, folks, that you're really going to be interested in because, it's no secret. We are an investigative agency, as is Save Them, Landon, investigator, as well as an intellectual. I'm telling you, really, but one great investigator, as is the members of Shatter Ops as well. But I want to show you this. You talk about the hypocrisy and about the all things like gaslighting and such. I don't know how many people saw this when President Trump visited Howell, Michigan. This is let me see here. This is. I'm going to have to read that one. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. It's in the show notes. President Trump went to Howell, Michigan, and really schooled a broadcaster or a reporter there because, you know, he was there in Howell, Michigan on a stop, campaign stop, and the reporter asked, well, what are you doing here? This is from Colin Rugg from his X feed. Crowd cracks up after Trump shuts up race-baiting reporter who tried linking him to white supremacy. And all of these phrases, I think white supremacy, and these are all keywords that are designed, again, to take down the U.S. in the larger scale. So anyway, the reporter, Kamala's campaign attacked you for being in this town because it's associated with white supremacy. And President Trump said, who was here in 2021? The reporter responded immediately, Biden. That was a mic drop moment for President Trump. Thank you, everyone, as he walked away. And you can watch that on Colin Rugg's X feed. So, yeah, I guess that wouldn't really play well because of the audio, but it's different if you watch it on your own device. Okay. And speaking of hypocrisy, speaking of different things, I'm going to show you this. This is a DNC. Now, folks, look, we get the fact that it's really kind of a television show. We're living in this matrix of illusion and delusion. But I thought this was pretty good in terms of calling out the hypocrisy of the left in this particular. It's actually a kind of a long segment, but stick with this and watch this. And consider the hypocrisy which we are faced with in this country. And it's not just a leftist problem, although that's the majority of it, but some on the right as well. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth your time. But stick with me on this because this is, I'll tell you, it's self-explanatory. Go ahead. This is cut two. The DNC is more secure than America's border. Folks, I thought this was great. Here it is.
Hey, Steve Cortez here on the west side of Chicago, Democratic National Convention at United Center. The Democrats, of course, want open borders and want an endless stream of illegal migrants pouring into the United States. This is my new acquaintance, Edwin. Say hello.
My name is Edwin. Nice to meet you.
All right, Edwin is from Venezuela. And we're going to take Edwin into the DNC so that he can meet the Democrats who want open borders. He should meet his new friends, hear the speakers, and learn about the Democratic Party. So, Edwin, let's head in, shall we?
Excelente. All right.
This is Edwin from Venezuela, migrant, invited by the Democrat Party. He'd like to come into the Democrat convention.
You have to get some credentials. Yep, you have to go to Jackson.
Yep. Wait, you mean he needs credentials and permission to come in
yes.
to get past the wall?
Yes.
It's like a border wall in a way, huh?
Yeah. You have to have ID. Credentials.
Okay, to come to the United States?
No.
Not to come to the United States. Okay, but to come to the Democrat Convention.
Here,
okay. You believe in security. You believe in securing a boundary. Edwin can't come in.
That's all I know.
I commend you on guarding this border. You're doing it very effectively, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So for the radio
like
listeners,
credentials for Edwin.
Okay.
Edwin is from Venezuela.
I am right.
So we tried to get Edwin into the convention. He's a migrant from Venezuela. No organization, just American. And he's a migrant from Venezuela. Wanted to get into the convention. We figured that they would love to have a migrant from Venezuela come in. They said we need credentials, so we're here to get the credentials.
Okay. Has anyone filled out an application for him?
So you have to. There's a process of an application. He didn't have that at the border.
Okay. I have my own personal beliefs on this, but right now I'm just going to be
talking to you.
So I'm asking.
Just to be clear, we have been ejected from the DNC credentialing office because we're not permitted to be here. We don't have permission. We didn't go through the application process. It seems like the United States would use similar rules about crossing the U.S. border. DNC doesn't believe in that, but they do believe in it for their own convention.
Okay, you can cut this right here. It goes on, and it does have a really great message built into that. And you can show that to your family members who are saying, well, you know, the border is secure. No, it's not. Or the left believes in open borders. Yeah, no. Or look, it is just a message, or it really illustrates the contradictions. And he does a great job. Steve Cortez does a great job. Folks, let me just take a quick break here and draw your attention to olive oil. This is something, you know, look, we've partnered with Gundry MD to share this information with you. You're about to see this on the screen. Would you believe me if I told you inside your pantry right now, right this moment, is one of the healthiest foods on the planet? And it's true. It's not some weird, trendy superfood. It's olive oil. Perhaps, you're probably used to cooking with it. I know I am. But there are countless ways to use olive oil to help yourself look and feel younger. For example, olive oil is a natural way to help you achieve a more youthful appearance. And look at me. I'm living proof of it. No, my wife is actually living proof of that. Besides helping you look younger on the outside, it's a fantastic tool for your insides as well. And Dr. Stephen Gundry, he's a famous cardiothoracic surgeon. He's a nutrition expert and health advocate. You've got to get as much high-quality olive oil into your daily routine as possible. I'm telling you, it works. Whether it's taking a shot of it daily or keeping a bottle of it in your bathroom, medicine cabinet, whatever it takes, do it. But what kind of olive oil is best for you? Look, any olive oil can give you some benefits. But if you're looking to get the best results, it matters a lot which one you pick. The olive oil industry is huge. You can tell by the number of olive oil brands you see at the grocery store. And there's a ton of them. So you can bet they're not all made with the consumer in mind. And many brands may even cut corners one way or another to increase profits. So when Dr. Gundry came to this realization, he was appalled. Some olive oils are so powerful, it may only take a few tablespoons a week to see these incredible health benefits. Well, Dr. Gundry did the rescue. And how can you or I tell between olive oil that can be a health booster and which one isn't up to par? Dr. Gundry answers that question. He's decided to take a stand and release his personal research and findings, which brings me to the video, which you can see on the screen. It's gone viral since its release, and it's important you see it so you can start benefiting immediately. Watch this video right now by going to getallofone.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, or by clicking in the link in the description box below. Navigate and find it and click on that link and watch it. That's getallofone.com/Hagman, or just click the link in the description box below. And people who have taken his advice, I've got to say this, they've shared their results with him, saying that the olive oil they bought after learning his simple rules have helped change their lives. So make sure you go to getallofone.com/Hagman or click on the link in the description box below this video. Do it now. With me is Landon from SaveThem.org. And Landon, I, you know, again, we talked before the show, and we were talking about a number of different things, but specifically, you're here for a reason. The reason is, of course, yours and Shatter Ops, the investigators, their tremendous investigative abilities, and we have a need for the investigation. We're looking at the takeover of our country. And this brings me to one of the, we have so many unanswered questions from JFK onward. I mean, you name them, they're hinge moment events that have a lot of questions about them. So without getting into granular level details, we've been tasked with looking into certain inconsistencies with respect to what happened on July 13th. I said it. And I'm okay with saying it. And people are beginning to realize how the extent of the lies by our government. And that's what you're doing here as well. I mean, there's some other things, but that's a focus of yours. Can we talk about that and any introductory thoughts about what happened on July 13th in general, whatever you think, and then, you know, the failures, the, again, the investigative deep dive into Thomas Crooks himself, if we can just talk,
sure,
about that. Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you and I have had a... We've had some coffee and omelets and just kind of chattered about this. And
you had the omelet.
I did have the omelet. It was a good omelet. And oh, by the way, I endorse olive oil on everything. I love olive oil.
Yeah, I just got into that too.
Recently. Tell you what, man. And this is a total sidebar, but you know, everywhere you look in the world where you get these really healthy diets, like the Mediterranean, yes, and Italy and Greece and whatever, they use olive oil and they dip raw olive oil. They'll just dip all their stuff in there. And yep. We as a family use olive oil for everything. We love it. But
yeah, we started doing that too. And it's kind of making my mouth water right now. I know. Just thinking about it. Yeah. Dip the bread in there. Man. Okay.
And while we're talking about sponsors, I was thinking when you were saying earlier, I've got to share this. So one of my favorite t-shirts of all time was a t-shirt my sister bought me. And it's a Chuck Norris t-shirt. Really? And it was a red t-shirt with black writing, and it said, after a long night of partying, some people throw up, but Chuck Norris throws down. And it's a picture of Chuck Norris, but he's punching the shirt. It's great. Anyways, it's good memories. Good memories. So, yeah, anyways, yeah, sorry, when we were getting the meal and talking through,
right,
just kind of what's some of the weird stuff here, and I just remember talking about how there's just some of that stuff that just doesn't make sense, you know? And to me, when you're investigating cases and you first start with, you go to first principles, you know, a little there bit of go. Occam's razor, you know, the most obvious thing is most likely the explanation, but that's not always true, because that closes the door on conspiracy. And conspiracy is a real word. So yes, when people conspire together to achieve something, then Occam's razor actually isn't applicable, because forces have conspired and they have leveraged a situation where the most obvious solution should be the obvious solution. But because of conspiracy, people conspiring together to achieve an end, it throws Occam's razor out the window. And I think we might be sitting on that kind of situation, because there are too many weird situations in this one. For example, if I'm a teenager and I graduate school and I'm starting an entry level job somewhere, and let's say I have a hobby.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's say that hobby was shooting arrows.
Okay.
Okay. And I, you know, maybe I'm not the world's best arrow shooter, but I go to an archery range and, you know, I learn how to shoot an arrow. It's near impossible that I could, as we saw with the DNC video, that I could just end up in the third row of the DNC and shoot arrows at the people on the stage.
That's a good, yes, yep, yep.
It's near impossible for two reasons. Number one, I'm not that skilled and knowledgeable. I'm a kid.
Yep.
So I would not have the life skill or training to achieve such a mission on first principles.
Right.
And number two, anybody who caught wind of me carrying a bow and arrow into the DNC would probably stop me. Maybe ask a question, maybe tackle me. I don't know. Something would happen that would throw it off.
Right.
There are too many weird questions about the July 13th event it's not making sense. That whole lone shooter narrative, which we kind of always get told about every situation. See, that's the other thing. When you get certain types of narratives 100% of the time,
yeah,
that's propaganda.
Thank you.
Okay, so because it's controlled narrative.
That's right.
Statistically, narratives in the natural ebb and flow of human existence should vary. So, for example, in the narratives around the 2020 election,
right,
when late in the game, 100% of votes in a certain county comes back for one candidate.
Yep,
that is not statistically probable or possible, because the county or the state is breaking at a statistical percentage other than 100.
The yes,
100% is not statistically probable.
Okay,
so I'm looking at a situation of July 13th, and I'm saying it's not statistically probable that a guy who, for all intents and purposes, seems to be kind of like a normal, kind of academically inclined, just kind of geeky kind of kid, you know, like we've all come from different stock and in different directions, he's not the guy who grew up training to be a SWAT operator, you know, and defy detection and all this. And what we see in July 13th is that he didn't even try to hide.
Yes. The new videos that have come out with that show him walking some 90 minutes before walking the perimeter, Vendors Row. And then that video with him obviously standing or walking with an AR-15 slung over his shoulder.
And I'm not convinced on that one, by the way. Because shadows being what they are, the human eye will see patterns that it wants to see. My personal feedback on that one, I'm not sold that that's actually a rifle. It could very well be shadowing. That looks like what we would think was a rifle. So it's hard to source that one.
And it's important. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's important for people to understand. This is a very high bar. So when you go out to a specific scene or you analyze a piece of evidence, you go 100% look. We've got to be 100% sure of what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that in what you do. And that's I strive to be that way as well. Even though we're 90% sure we're seeing this, this is an image of this young man with a rifle. It could very well be something completely different if it's not even if it's not altered or whatever. So we have to take all of that into account, and you have a very high bar of evidentiary standards. So
yeah, and what we do have 100% confidence in is his level of confidence.
Yes.
In that situation was uncanny. So he did not reflect someone who was trying to sneak or snoop or execute well-trained skill, come in through an undetected method or anything.
Right.
He just rocked up on the top of that building. And I mean, you see the videos, like all the grandmas, they're like, hey, look, there's a guy on the roof. And, which strangely, when they all point to him on the roof, all the cops go around the other side of the building, which is really weird. I don't know what they were doing, but they're like, hey, look, that guy, the guy who's like walking and crawling, he's up there.
Yep.
And, this guy had an undue level of confidence. So either he's extremely naive and out of his mind. Maybe that's possible, but then you have to piece that together with the level of skill required to execute the mission.
Right.
They don't match.
Thank you. There you go.
The pieces of the puzzle don't connect. So you then have to ask yourself, well, if the pieces of the puzzle don't connect, then there must be a gap piece. And that gap piece is what connects the two. And the gap piece, I think, is worth investigating, because to enable that level of confidence,
yes,
and couple it with the level of haphazard skill, not well-executed skill, there had to be something where he knew in some way, my estimation, that it was going to be okay.
That someone had his back, maybe?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. That he had a level of confidence which had been communicated to him, true or not,
right,
that he could just go do whatever he was doing. And he didn't have to be super paranoid or worried or anything, because you don't see that in him at all. So that's just in the videos I've seen online, which I think everybody's seen.
Yeah, I mean, this is all open source, what we're referencing.
Yeah. So it's just, these are the things that occurred to me on that. There's one other thing, maybe it's something people can think about a little bit, is in our work with ShatterOps,
yes,
we do enter the world of things like the occult.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, okay, because you did blow my mind with some stuff over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But continue, please.
Well, it's just it's a line of thinking that I think if you pursue it, it just helps you expand your scenarios and possibilities of probable action, probable futures. What we know about working with cases regarding the occult and their overlap with some rogue entities in different institutions, whatever, is that there is an active programming.
Mm-hmm.
There is an active breaking of people's psyches and then the manipulation of them. So this is all carryover stuff from the 1940s, 1950s. People hear things like MK Ultra and whatever. But the point is that people have learned how to manipulate and control other people through brainwashing techniques and all that. It's very intentional. When I looked at some of the videos of him, it occurred to me that the behaviors reflected those kinds of things that we've seen in other scenarios where someone was controlled by another person or another kind of training entity or whatever,
right,
where it's almost like they're acting like a robot. They're just executing a predefined plan. They're just outdoing. And sometimes you'll talk to these guys after an investigation, they don't even remember what happened.
And we've seen this before. Specifically, I'm going to cite Sirhan Sirhan with the RFK assassination. There's like a whole lot wrong with that whole scenario where, folks, if you go to the research, there is someone who is really big into the research on that. There's this, I didn't do anything, or this loss of memory, or, yeah, exactly what you're describing.
Right. And people, and whether it's from the occult or whatever, who have this dissociative identity disorder, especially when it's been intentionally induced
right.
and controlled, they do have things like missing time. And when they switch personalities, they don't behave in the same way that their normal personality would. So anyways, as I was looking at some of those videos, I was looking at the dude and I was going, he's either way too confident in what he's doing, or he's completely oblivious to what's happening, or something. But there, it discredits the lone wolf.
Yes.
He just rocked up, had a passion for rifles, and hated, you know, Mr. President Trump, and just wanted to go shoot him. That is a low probability outlier conclusion, which unfortunately is the macro level narrative.
Well stated. You're right. And Dan Bongino had, this is not a new, necessarily a new clip, but, and this clip is in its totality, I think it's over 10 minutes long, but the first couple of minutes is interesting because he asked the question, who was Thomas Matthew Crooks? And folks understand this. There's so much information. You've seen it. I've seen it. So much information being peddled out there that is deliberate misinformation or in some cases, some well-intentioned people who are trying to make sense of this but have it wrong.
Yes.
Okay. So,
that's right.
And again, I'm not going to disparage anyone if they have it wrong, if they're well-intentioned. But to those who are playing the deliberate misinformation, that's something different. We'll play about 2 minutes because our time is short. Play about 2 minutes if you don't mind, Eric the Tech. This is cut 7. Who was Thomas Thomas Matthew Crooks really? This is Dan Bongino from a couple of days ago.
You're suggesting to me with a straight face that a 20-year-old kid who you're claiming has no connections to any organized group, government entity, or anything like that, managed somehow to wipe any single footprint, fingerprint, or digital DNA of himself off the internet, off the online digital footprint trail, and nobody can find anything anywhere, and you believe that. If you do, there's a bridge in Palm City near my crib. I'm selling it on the super cheap right now, folks. You believe that? Wait, let me go to the Rumble. Let's go to Rumble here. Hold on, I got to pop on the radio show. Update this. I had it on the podcast. Rumble folks, in the chat, does anybody believe this? Some of you may have taken this poll during the podcast, but vote again. You vote like Democrats, early, often. You believe that? This 20-year-old kid, did you see the picture of this kid? You're telling me this guy is so sophisticated that he managed to wipe himself clean from the internet and was working with absolutely no one. And just coincidentally, Representative Clay Higgins, good guy, wanted to go and see the body of Crooks, the assassin that day. Because he did assassinate someone, Corey Comparator. And look at this. The body was apparently cremated and released to the family by the FBI. Nobody even knew his body was gone, according to Kylie Jane Kramer, until August 5th, including the Butler County Coroner and Butler County Law Enforcement.
Okay, let's stop it right there. Folks, you can watch the entire clip. In fact, watch the entire episode. It's worth it. That kind of gives you a little bit of insight as to what Lyndon was talking about. And being a part of this investigation, okay, not going to speak out of school necessarily, but we're going to show you one thing. And it's the first time I believe it's been shown anywhere in any venue. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. What you're about to see, and I'm going to ask Lyndon a question though, what you're going to see momentarily has not been seen by anyone else. And this, what you're going to see, was verified, was actually, the image was taken by the gentleman who joins me right now. And I was able to do some follow-up investigation and found some things out. I'm not going to disclose that. Again, we're going to limit what we say, but understand there's some really bad things going on. When you look at it in the bigger sense, this is a coup against our country, an attempted coup in this case. But now that it failed, they're trying to wipe out, as Dan Bongino said, his entire existence. But Landon, what do you, I mean, what do you think about what Dan Bongino said about, you know, you're telling me that this is what he did without help? The, kind of what you said, right?
It's exactly, it was the first thought I had when I heard about the story and started to even think about it at all, was that it's too clean.
It is. Yeah.
It's too clean. So it eliminates the narrative from first principles. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's propaganda. It has to be, because it's the same narrative we always get given about every single situation. How can it always be the same all the time?
Yeah. It's always a standard playbook, isn't it?
It is. So that begs the next question. Okay. If the macro level narrative is a joke, then what's the real narrative?
And there it is. And what's the motive behind all of this? Because as you said, and I was on the show the other day, some time ago, I was talking about, maybe I didn't. Well, yeah, I know I mentioned the article, but I'm not sure if I mentioned the context in which I found the article. I was reaching for a book from Russ Dizdar, or mm-hmm. one of Russ's books, and out came this copy. And somebody in the chat, in Rumble chat on that day, put up a hard copy link to a CIA archive. But it was about creating assassins back in the 1950s.
Yeah, yeah. It was a documented piece by the New York Times from the Freedom of Information Act that talked about how Project Artichoke would specifically had worked to create a chronological series of events for would-be assassins to execute a pre-programmed set of steps.
Right.
Which is interesting, because a lot of times you think, okay, an event happens. So let's say you show up to go shoot somebody. There's an assumption that there's someone who, and you're being handled. There's an assumption that person must have activated you or triggered you or told you what to do on that day at that time. What Project Artichoke says is no. The initiation of the steps began a week ago.
There you go.
So there was a meetup at Dunkin' Donuts where you were given the go-ahead, and it initiated a series of events which culminate in a would-be assassination attempt. And interesting, in that New York Times article, it describes July 13th almost exactly, except it says that law enforcement scooped up the would-be assassin for interrogation or whatever. They don't say that he was killed.
That's right.
That was very telling. But the important piece, the initiation of a long set of pre-programmed steps, was what Project Artichoke was all about.
And to think, obviously, folks, to think that that program was stopped with the exposure. No. Before we run out of time, I do want to show this image. This is courtesy of, well, Landon was able to get this. The context very quickly is, you know, the wiping out of his electronic existence. Well, wait a second. Let's look at his normal existence. What's going on there? Well, on the ground field investigation, look what we found. This is his school book, yearbook, school picture.
Yeah.
And you didn't do that. I didn't do that. You went to the public library. You grabbed a hold of his yearbook.
Yeah.
You opened it to the page.
I mean, it's just investigation 101. You know, you just try to go to some nearby places just to gather your photos of who you're looking for and all that. We do this all the time. This is standard stuff. And I was just kind of curious. And so we just popped into a nearby library, pulled the yearbooks from the high school just to get our pictures in order, you know, understand. Yeah. If what was being shown online was the extent of what's known, or if there's something else. Well, interestingly, yeah, that's, I believe, from his sophomore year, and it's just not there. It's been cut out.
And, yeah, look, you can, this day and age, you can take a photograph of the page, the picture.
Absolutely.
You can copy it. I mean, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
So there's something very, very wrong here.
Absolutely. And a lot of people online, they've said things like, how come we only have this picture of this kid from when he was 16 or whatever? And the reality is that what we also found just looking at the other yearbooks is that that's when his pictures stop. There are no other pictures in his junior and senior year. in the yearbook. So that's also why you haven't seen something more recent. And then that super duper, I have no presence online thing. There are just no public pictures of this kid from the time of that one that was cut out.
Yes.
Was the last picture that we basically have of him.
And the BlackRock commercial, but.
BlackRock commercial, of course, which was unintentional, I'm sure. Yeah.
All right. Landon, we're out of time, folks. Yep. I got to tell you, it was a pleasure having Landon from SaveThem.org here. Dig deep, support Landon, and support Shatter Ops as well. God bless each and every one of you. See you tomorrow.